As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Is this thing on? One, two, mic check, one, two.
Right. And then the communication, that's your glue.
Man, this is our city. This is our city, man. We did it, man. It's unbelievable.
I feel like Black Jesus.
We've seen the story before.
We've seen the story before.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show.
Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Welcome to Point of...
No, let me stop my Zach. Let me stop my Zach impersonation.
We need to keep that in.
I do have a take.
Here's what happens. Since it's Steph Curry, you have to be chasing him over the screen. So you're going over that guy that you're switching onto, which means when you switch onto him, you're on his back. And all of the Warriors screeners, whether it's Otto Porter or Andrew Wiggins or Jordan Poole, whoever, are really good at saying, okay, you switch, you're on my back. Boom, zip to the rim, backdoor cut. So you can't just say switch that, switch that,
switch that,
switch that,
switch that,
switch that,
switch that,
switch that, switch that,
switch that,
switch that, switch that,
switch that.
Yeah, but. Welcome to Point of Contention, five subjects, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention. Coming up on the show, the Jekyll and Hyde Celtics, my brother's keeper Warriors, all that jazz, rumors, draft season, and finals MVP talk today, June 16th. Happy Fudge Day, everybody. On this day in 1993, Chicago Bulls defeated the Phoenix Suns 111-105 in game four of the NBA Finals at Chicago Stadium. As the Bulls, Michael Jordan erupted for 55 points. Jordan's 55-point effort matched the second highest single-game point total in finals history. Jade, play the tape.
There's a seven-second disparity between the shot clock and the game clock. Jordan, yes, and it counts!
So, Michael, the Phoenix Sun caught you guys a little emotionally down on Sunday. That didn't happen tonight.
Well, I think we learned from that game the other night. I know we had a dogfight. We had our chances to win, but we knew we didn't play extremely well. We knew we could play better basketball. Today, we still had some lapses in the 48-minute game, but you know we struggled down the stretch, but we did what we had to do to win both.
All right, let's get to our two contestants. In this corner, the Long Meadow legend, the King Penn from Beantown, calls it like he sees and often calls it before he sees it, and sometimes, just sometimes, sees it like he calls it. In his heyday, he liked a hot box because he always wanted all the smoke, and is exactly who Omar from The Wire was talking about when he said, you come at the king, you best not miss. He's the one and only Jay King. Jay, is crypto dead?
Never. Never.
It's dying though, right?
No. No,
it's not doing well.
It's just going through a cyclical drop.
Yo, Bitcoin, man, come on. Bitcoin is down to like 20,000. That ain't no cyclical.
It's a cyclical drop. What was it?
Odell Beckham Jr. owes the Rams money for last year.
What was it 2 years ago? What was it 3 years ago, guys?
60?
You got to
60?
You got to take the long view. Just hold on to it. See what happens. The kid's going to be rich one day.
It is depreciating like a
it's
Lexus.
Just not today.
It is like just, it is not doing well.
That's just a beautiful time to continue accumulating and then see your riches grow one day in the future.
Speaking of
the canyon, baby.
This is not financial advice.
Speaking of the accumulation, this man is accumulating books that he's written. In this corner, the Bay Area legend. The stitch into the glove, the parent to the J kid, puts the awe in B Shy, writes the hook for Hook Mitchell, puts the ill in Lillard. It's the three-time author of Bay Area and NBA Basketball, created the rap group, A Scribe Called Quest. You can mark us all down as fans of the legend, the one and only Marcus Thompson. Marcus, who's your favorite character from Entourage?
Turtle.
Yeah, that's our guy. Jerry Ferrara. Shout out to Jerry. Our, poor Knicks.
Oh, that's right. He was a friend. I was a big Turtle guy.
It's our guy still.
Is he still a podcaster?
He was a gamer, right? Yeah, he's doing the Knicks gaming for a bit.
He loves hoops. Man loves hoops. I know that.
He loves him some hoops for sure. He had some wild outfits in those first couple seasons of Entourage. Just that was the back when Mitchell and S was
the velour tracksuits were fire.
Man, it was all over the place. All right, that checks the old banter box, guys. Jade, start the clock. Take one. Warriors are one win away, fellas. Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors are just one win from an NBA title. They're fourth with this group. They can seal the deal tonight in Boston. Fourth one in 8 years. The victory machine doth persist. In game five, a 104-94 win for the Dubs. Boston once again sputtered down the stretch, displaying a phenomenon our friend Mo Dakhil has dubbed the Jekyll and Hyde Celtics. Celtics won game one after a fourth quarter barrage, going small, spacing the floor, raining threes. But since then, Boston's been terrible in late game scenarios. Jade, play the tape.
Did you feel like fatigue-wise it was kind of showing up there in terms of the kind of offense you guys were creating? Or
could have been. We ran them obviously a longer stretch to get back in the game in the third. Looked like our decision making waned a little bit in the fourth, and could have been from that. We weren't getting a whole lot of production off the bench. Went with them a little bit longer, being that they got us back in and tried to use the timeouts for their rest. But got away from a little bit of what got us back in the game in the third, and decision making could and fatigue could be a part of it.
Let's focus on the Celtics here. We'll get to the Warriors in take two. Jay, what's going on with Boston? And is there still some time left for them to readjust their offensive strategy going into game six?
So what's going on? So their whole thing this season, the theme of their season, as Ime Udoka likes to put it, has been sharing the basketball, finding the right play, making the right read. And they've kind of dealt with some setbacks on that front throughout the playoffs. It happened, you know, a few times against Milwaukee. It happened a few times against Miami. It's now happened in each of the last two fourth quarters. And the Warriors are just super smart. Their defense is super smart. They make you make the right play over and over again. They're not going to let you have anything easy. And the Celtics just haven't dealt with it, especially the last two fourth quarters. They're up five in the fourth quarter of game four at home with a chance to go up 3-1. They are down one entering the fourth quarter in game five to go up 3-2. And it was just disaster from that point on. So they just need to handle all of that better. They need to do a better job of reading the game. And it's kind of been Jekyll and Hyde, like Mo said, throughout the whole playoffs. When they can take care of the ball, when they can make the simple play, they look great. And then the rest of the time, it's ugly.
It's bad.
That's just been kind of the roller coaster that they've been on this whole playoffs.
Marcus, what do you think the Celtics need to do here in order to get back on track against this Warriors defense?
I mean, number one, I don't know like how you get this on the fly, but first and foremost, they just need composure. This is a misnomer to think, like, even JT said it, like, we're not out here trying to turn the ball over, right? It's like, right. We're not trying to do this. This is what happens under pressure. And this is true throughout the playoffs. If you pressure their ball handlers, they get out of sorts. Like, these aren't unforced turnovers in the sense that nothing's happening and just turn it over. They don't handle pressure well. They got to figure out a way to be composed. This is the NBA Finals. This is the championship. You're not getting easy looks on anybody. Like, that's not what's happening at the end of an NBA Finals game down the stretch. Like, you got to be able to execute against great defense. You got to be able to execute against pressure. And you could see them, like, they're having a hard time going left. right? Like, you know, it's like, hey, force you left. How do you make the play? I think it's a – it might be a fundamental flaw in the roster construction. So it's tough to figure it out. I think their answer is they just got to make threes, man. They make threes. It just breaks defenses, and they can get hot like a team you've never seen before.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what they need to do to scatter the defense enough so they're not going against this like super set, ready to go, well schemed defense, right? Like they need to spread the, they need to make threes to make it work.
I kind of think, Jay, that this is on Tatum. He had nice numbers last game. He was terrible in the fourth quarter, but I think this is on Tatum to force the issue. He has 7 made baskets in the restricted area through 5 games. Yeah, he has got to get crazy to the basket a lot more. Like, he's only taken 14 in the restricted area, but he's only made 7 in those 5 games. Like, I'm not saying he's been a problem, but this is like superstar territory to save your season. Like, he has to set the tone and force the issue.
Yeah, they have to find ways to get him going to the hoop in situations when he can have a little bit of space. Obviously, the Warriors, like, they're so smart about sending help. They're so good about rotating behind it. They've got Draymond, who might be the best help defender literally ever. Like, that dude is so smart. What's really stood out to me, especially late in games, that the Celtics aren't necessarily, like, being patient enough to go at what they want. There was a possession late in game 4 where Jaylen Brown is running a pick and roll to try to get Jordan Poole on him and rejects the screen and goes at Klay Thompson instead. And it's like, okay, you can try that, but it would have been a lot easier if you just ran the play and went at Jordan Poole instead.
Right.
And then game 5, or like early on when things were starting to go wrong for them, you know, Derek White comes off a screen. The Warriors want him to shoot it. He shoots it. Marcus Smart comes off a screen. I think Tatum had the Klay Thompson switch, which they want. Smart went to the rim instead and forced up a tough shot. Like, they're just not being patient enough to get to the stuff that they want. And so I do think it's on Tatum, but it's also on everyone else to run the stuff through to get the opportunities that will help them versus just kind of losing control and trying to hit a home run, like Brad Stevens used to say.
Marcus, do you think that Jason Tatum can solve Andrew Wiggins?
I think it's kind of a mistake to try. It's like there are other matchups to go at. And well, here's another thing you can do. Maybe start him from a different spot. Because if he's at the top and this Andrew Wiggins and him, like, all of the help options are in play.
Yeah.
They're all in play.
Yeah.
Like, maybe start him from the baseline, start him in the post, force a double to come and you can see it, you know. Or here's a novel idea. How about not wait till there's 12 seconds on the shot clock to run your set?
Like, to start waiting for the action to go? Maybe don't waste half the shot clock.
Get the ball up the court, you know, and then start running your set when it's like 16 seconds left and now everything is not like a pressure shot at the end. But to me, I just – going up against a set elite defense – is a recipe for not scoring.
Yeah.
That's just what it is, a recipe for not scoring. They got to figure out some way to get the Warriors defense moving. And they're not doing that when Tatum is like, all right, I'm about to take Wiggins 1-on-1. Nobody's moving.
Right.
And I don't want to take away from the Warriors defense. That defense is special.
Oh, they're only second. They're only second this year. They can't be good.
They are a special defense. They were second with Draymond Green missing half the season. You know, like that's a really, really damn good defense. And they're forcing the Celtics out of a lot of what they want, especially late the last 2 games. It's just been a masterclass by those guys.
All right, time for take 2. My brother's keeper. One game after a legendary 43-point, 10-rebound performance, Steph Curry watched his all-time streak of 233 consecutive games with a made three-pointer come to an end in Game 5 of the Finals on Monday night. Curry went 0-for-9 from 3, but the Wiggins Warriors picked up their star and secured the win. Curry, who played pretty well otherwise, finished the night with 16 points and 8 assists. Jade, play the tape.
Hi, Steph. Davide Chinellato with the Gazzetta in Italy. I have 2 for you. One is about your t-shirt. I can read the final part.
Aisha Curry can cook.
Can you tell me the backstory of that?
You got to ask around the room and ask Twitter. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Steph Markman, NBA.com. Amidst your abnormal shooting night tonight, how do you determine through the course of the game, now's the time to try to lean on other parts of the game to make an impact? Now's the time to, you know, rely on your teammates, or now's the time to try to knock some shots? How do you kind of navigate those things?
I mean, I talked yesterday. I knew there was going to be some adjustments in the way that they were trying to guard the pick and roll, because you know, they got a lot of clean looks, and they, you know, were a little bit more aggressive, a little higher up on their pickup points. So I didn't get as many attempts up. Obviously, I didn't make any, but the rest of the time, it's just using that aggression against them, getting into the paint. The fact, you know, I don't know, I had more than like 5 assists the first, you know, 4 games, and then that total goes up, and we still left a lot out there because, you know, we have different ways to attack you, even if it's not me just trying to hunt shots. And using gravity, using ball movement, all that type of stuff to do kind of normal Warriors basketball. So, yeah, it's just a feel thing. And obviously, you know, never losing your aggressiveness even though you're not making, you know, shots like you normally do.
Since 2013, Steph has only had 9 games in which he failed to hit a 3, but history tells us he will bounce back. The greatest shooter in NBA history has averaged 4.4 three-pointers per game and 46% from beyond the arc in the next game after not making a 3.
Watch out, you unlucky leprechaun.
Fun fact, last time Curry did not make a 3 in a game was on November 8th, 2018 against the Bucks. Marcus, take out your magic crystal ball and tell us what a Game 6 Warriors win will entail. Is Curry back, or will his brother's keepers save the day?
Curry will be back, but I think it's going to be his brother's keeper. Come on, it's a Klay Thompson game.
Oh, I thought you meant Wiggins.
Oh, it's Game 6 Klay.
Game 6 Klay, man, come on. This is stuff of legend here. Mm-hmm. I think, man, Ime's in such a tough spot, dude, because... Like, I mean, the reason he wasn't selling out on Steph is because he didn't want to get everybody else going. And the moment he does sell out on Steph, now you've got Derek White trying to stop Wiggins coming with a full head of steam with space. Right? That's just tough, man. So does he go back? Does he go back to how he was playing Steph before and risk Steph going off? But either way, no matter what, Klay Thompson has gotten a lot of good looks, and he has not made a lot of them. And if there's ever a time for Klay to make a lot of them, it would be Game 6. For some reason, he's just weird enough.
He made some huge shots in Game 5, though. The ones near the end of the third were huge when the Celtics were.
And then the one to take the lead right, from the time.
Yeah, when Marcus Smart fell.
That was big. But, Jay, like, isn't it? Look, you don't want to lose a championship, but if you lose a championship because you made Andrew Wiggins beat you, isn't that okay?
I don't think losing is okay,
losing
no matter
Steph
what.
Curry beat you?
My thing was, but I think from a Celtics perspective, you might look at some of the Wiggins shots, especially early on. Like, he just hit a bunch of tough, like, mid-range fadeaways, which. I know he's pretty good at that. He can hit that. He's big enough to get that shot off. But those you're cool with. It's the ones like in the fourth quarter when Derek White's guarding him and he just gets all the way to the rim and it's too easy that you want to take away. But yes, Steph is such a dangerous riddle. And this is why I think it's stupid that he doesn't have a Finals MVP yet. The other people eat because of the way that teams have to guard him, which is unlike anybody else in the world. And that's why Wiggins goes off. That's why Andre Iguodala went off years ago. That's why, you know, teams make other guys beat them, and they do because of all the space that those guys have, because Steph is the most dangerous man from anywhere outside of the three-point line that we've ever seen. And so, like, yeah, Wiggins was awesome, but Wiggins was awesome because partly because the Celtics had to send more attention to Stephen Curry. That said, like, the Warriors only scored 104 points.
And you know who wasn't there, who's there all series waiting for Wiggins at the rim, who was not there because he was out by the three-point line? It's Robert Williams. But Wiggins was getting his shot beat up the whole series.
Yeah. He's been kind of afraid to attack
Yeah, like
Robert Williams the third, like a lot. Like you see him very tentative, like not just rising up and going to dunk on him or finishing strong through traffic or whatever. Like he kind of goes up, he's like, "All right, I'm gonna kind of jump to the side a little bit, just throw up a little lefty." Absolutely. And Robert's always there, but yeah, when he's not there, you
when
see
saw,
him go with
he saw
authority.
Him not there, and he saw Derek White in this way. He's like, "Oh, this is dunk. Easy. Yeah. This is." I mean, that's to me, that's the choice you got to make. Like, I get it. You get why Ty Lue and them are like, I don't care. It's not going to be Steph, right? Like Nick Nurse, it's not going to be Steph. Like, you understand why they do that, because if you just let Steph get, like, easy coverage, he's going to torture you.
And his are demoralizing.
That's the thing. Yeah. Like, he breaks your whole psyche. Like, he ruins you. So, yeah, I mean, it might be wise to bank on 20-footers from Wiggins or – bank on Clay still being cold, right? Or like Draymond getting you 15 points, right? Like those are probably safer bets, but it's hard to stomach too. Like now you're leaving Derek White out there on an island, or it's like Grant Williams come in and now check Jordan Poole in space because we got to pay attention to Steph.
Right, which is funny because Wiggins, Derek White is a really good defender, but
yes,
Wiggins good. Historically is someone who like, he's just better when he's matched up against a two guard. Like he can score against a two guard like crazy. And when he gets like some of that size against him, then he like, you know, kind of has to check or he goes into that mid range jumper or whatever.
When Wiggins in his mind, you could tell by the way he plays, when he looks at the person in front of him and he thinks he can't guard me, he's a different player, bro. Yeah. Like I honestly think
he looks at the guy and if he's looking down at his forehead, he's like, it's a bucket.
He's like, you can't check me.
And that's a big forehead with Derek White to see. So you can't miss that thing. And it's a wrap.
It's just some dudes this year where it's just like, yo, Wiggins, why do you not like him? Like, what? Why are you doing him like this? And then other dudes, he just won't do it. He just won't take him at all. But what's in his mind, he's like, oh, this dude can't guard me.
Yeah.
He becomes a completely different player. And he clearly feels that way about Derek White, who is a good defender.
Yeah,
right?
Like, he's really good. It's just he can't guard Wig. Like, it's just that's what it is. All right. Time for take three. All that jazz. We can't keep this stuff off our computers, but it doesn't shame us when people see that we're talking about the Utah Jazz once again. With Quinn can't win in the playoffs, Snyder stepping down, and the coaching search in full swing, it looks like trade discussions haven't slowed down with Utah Jazz big man Rudy Gobert. According to Jake Fisher of Bleacher Report, a lot of trade chatter with Utah Jazz and the Atlanta Hawks. Quote, "It has been plenty of talk among league personnel that some combination of Capella, John Collins, Kevin Huerter, and the number 16 pick could be routed to Utah for the three-time defensive player of the year. In ongoing trade chatter around the league, Atlanta has believed to have made all players besides Trae Young available," end quote. Meanwhile, on Sunday, trade rumors involving Donovan Mitchell were reignited after the NBA skills coach Chris Brickley shared photos of Heat star Jimmy Butler and Mitchell sitting next to each other at his birthday party on Instagram. Pictures which quickly went viral on social media. Anything for the clout, fellas. Former head coach Quinn Snyder addressed the rumors. Jade, play the tape.
They sit at the same table when they eat sometimes. You know, I don't know if they ride to practice together.
They eat lunch together sometimes. Breaking news from Shams Charania and Tony Jones of The Athletic. Utah Jazz are now interviewing Sam Cassell as possibly their next head coach.
I need this. The Cassell victory dance. I need it.
By the way, trades usually ramp up. The draft is next Thursday. Don't forget to tune into our live NBA draft show starting at 8 p.m. Eastern that night. Details at NBA Athletic Show on Twitter. Marcus, are Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell on the Jazz come next Friday?
They should not be, but they will be.
They should both be gone?
Wow. Nah, I take the best offer for either. But I think they will overvalue both to the point where they're going to ask for something ridiculous. Like, it's going to be like the Hawks have this package, and they're going to be like, all right, nah, man, we got to have Hunter too.
Like, and also to their credit, Drew Holiday went for 4 picks. Like, it's that really screws it up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it definitely. I think they're going to end up playing together because the price is just going to be so high to get either one of them.
Yeah.
Even though, to me, if you're the Hawks, man, I don't know about giving up everything, but is there a perfect player to back up Trae Young? Is there a more perfect center for him to say, yo, I got you? It ain't Clint Capella, I'll tell you that.
No, it's not Clint Capella. At least we know Trae Young will probably pass to Rudy
Gobert. He'll throw the ball. He'll get a couple.
All right.
Blocks.
I mean,
He'll start out.
We don't know if he'll finish. Although if your issues were, man, Donovan doesn't stay in front of everybody or in front of anybody, like I can't defend in the playoffs. Trae Young, maybe not the next best thing in terms of that, but that's a problem for another day. Jay, what do you think happens with this Gobert Mitchell thing?
I think they're going to end up trading Gobert. I also think it's going to be about how much can Danny Ainge and that front office stomach taking a step back in the interim. Because if you trade Rudy Gobert for any combination of dudes from the Hawks outside of Trae Young, you're not going to be as good. You're just not. You're not going to win as many games.
I got a theory. Look, if they could Capella and like Herter and something for that.
Capella and Herter, that's going to take you to the promised land?
No. It's not. They're not going to the promised land with Gobert. So you're not. The goal is not like to get to the promised land with this trade. But I'm saying Capella for his money versus Gobert for his money, it's not that different in terms of defensive impact on the court. I think it's workable, but obviously Capella is lesser than Rudy Gobert. I'm just like, would you rather give Capella 18 or Rudy like 38?
Yeah.
You know, like that's
give me Rudy for 38.
I just
feel like this is a longer term, like you have to look at it from a longer term perspective if you're the Jazz, where
for sure
you're getting pieces for later, not necessarily for next year. And you have to realize, like, we might win 45 games next year. We might be the 8 seed. We might not be, you know, win a playoff series or contend to win a playoff series like they have lately. And you have to be okay with that. And I think Danny Ainge, like, when he first got to Boston, he looked at the duo of Paul Pierce and Antoine Walker, which had been to an Eastern Conference Finals and was competitive, winning a lot of games. And he's like, there's no way these dudes together are going to win a championship. And he split them up immediately. But it took a while from then. Like, it wasn't like it was an overnight fix. And I think
I think
for Utah, like, this is going to take years to get to the point where they need to. They had a small window they didn't capitalize on, which I think was just basically last season. And now it's going to be – there's going to be some pain in the short term.
Remember, Utah Jazz do host the All-Star Weekend this coming season. You don't want to be bad if you're hosting All-Star Weekend, and you need your star to be relatively happy if you're hosting All-Star Weekend. And so I do think a lot of that, which may be, you know, a poor decision, but like that putting on that show.
Royce O'Neal will be a great host for the All-Star. Wow. It's perfectly fine.
Royce is Donovan's boy. Like that, like those guys are friends. Fine. I don't know. I don't know if that's the one. I think you might have like Nikhil Alexander Walker still in the middle, like hosting
Dante,
that thing.
Where's Dante Exum when you need him? He'll host.
Dante's such a nice dude, too. He'd be a great host, man.
Hey. Jordan Clarkson, there you go.
Everyone loves Jordan Clarkson. Your ambassador for the All-Star.
There you go.
All right. Coming up after the break, more NBA draft rumors and who will be the finals MVP back after this. Take four. Draft season. The 2022 NBA draft is 1 week away. And after the wheeling and dealing has already begun, the Nuggets and the Thunder completed a trade on Monday that included a 2022 first round pick headed to Denver. And trade chatters is certain to intensify throughout the rest of the league in the coming days. According to ESPN's Jonathan Givony, multiple teams currently holding 2022 NBA lottery picks are believed to be willing to deal. And a significant group of current NBA players are also potentially on offer via draft deals. Fellas, frankly, there are too many rumors to list out here on the show. We simply do not have the time. That said, Jay King, what do you have your eye on heading into next Thursday's festivities on ESPN?
What goes on at the top? This is one of those years. I feel like a lot of the time we know who's going to be the number one pick. Now we don't this year. It's kind of wide open. there's a little bit of chaos at the top. Is it going to be Chet? Is it going to be Jabari? Is it going to be Paolo Banchero, who just measured at 6'10 and a half without sneakers? That is huge. That is a large man with guard skills who can shoot
Do you want
and
that
do things
in
off
today's
the
NBA, or do you want Bargnani 2.0? It's a tough decision. We don't know.
I'm just saying, first of all, that's so disrespectful to Chet. That is the most disrespectful thing to Chet. Chet is really good. Chet can play D. Chet can run a little bit of point guard. He's got a little bit of game to him outside. Bargnani, no, that was just insulting, man. Bargnani
could at least score at the NBA level.
Don't do Chet like
Bargnani,
that.
Yeah, Bargnani can shoot.
Yeah, Bargnani can shoot, man.
Oh,
he's a
man.
Bucket. He's a walking, talking bucket. He was a number one pick, and it wasn't, and everyone knew it. This guy, you can't, you know, Jabari Smith might get picked over you. Paolo Banchero might get picked over you because he hit a growth spurt.
Six, Chet. 10 and a half without shoes also, is huge,
buddy,
by the
this
way.
Ain't
that's
the 50s.
Center size.
We're not going to have a great player named Chet. This isn't 1951. I don't know what we're doing here.
I
don't know if you're aware of what's going on in our country, but we've been headed back for a while, buddy.
Those are Chads. Those are Chads.
Might as well take our hoop,
Marcus.
Might as well take our hoop back.
Chets. I love how defensive Jay gets when I just talk shit about Chet Holmgren.
You underestimate Chet so bad, and you've been doing it for years.
Give me Wembanyama, baby. Give me Wembanyama.
Wembanyama's
going to
be great, too, but Chet's a bad man.
Jay, you just gotta pause on these Gonzaga players, man.
What's the last Gonzaga player that came through for you?
I mean, Matt Santangelo was the truth. Ricky Fromm was no joke. Dan Dickow, man, who could hold Dan Dickow,
baby?
Ricky Fromm the D League, because that's where he was playing. Not the NBA
who could
level.
Hold Dan Dickow, honestly, nobody.
I might want to maybe coach you on that phrase in a little bit, but you know, Austin Day came up short. Adam Morrison
wait till you
came
see,
up short.
Wait till you see when Drew Timmy hits the league.
He pulled himself out of the draft.
Yeah, that was a good decision,
his
too.
Little, his
He's going to make more money.
I'm a barista mustache was not ready for the NBA draft process.
Rony Turioff, greatest Gonzaga player to come out of
there. Hey, man, got a ring, didn't
Rony
he?
Was nice. Rony was nice. Who was the dude who did psychedelic mushrooms?
Brandon Clark.
Josh Heitfeld. That was the dude who did psychedelic mushrooms, right?
You're naming a bunch of guys who didn't
Pargo.
Play in the NBA.
Yeah,
didn't Pargo play there?
Pargo,
yeah.
Pargo
yeah. Jeremy Pargo that played there? Yeah, Jeremy Pargo played there.
Jeremy Pargo, yeah. Jeremy Pargo, Rony Turioff, best of Gonzaga players to come out. Is Suggs going to take them down?
Oh, I got to clear Heitfeld's name. He denied the mushrooms were his.
Thank God we got to the bottom of that. Marcus, what are you looking forward to on draft night?
When is the draft?
Thursday.
Do you guys know we're covering the NBA Finals here?
Get the fuck out of here with this NBA Finals thing. You know, they win a title, they don't win a title. Who cares? We got 58 dreams being made here on draft night.
The only thing worth watching in this draft is what Oklahoma City actually does.
They don't have roster spots.
They're going to trade for more picks. That's what they're going to do.
They're going to trade for more picks. That's what we're going to watch. We're going to watch them trade for more picks. They're gonna just start hoarding.
I hope they end up with Chet because I want to see Chet and Poku playing together. And just, 94 pounds between them.
But ballers, though. 94 pounds with skills, baby.
Does Poku have skills? He shoots 30% from the field.
But it's a hell of a 30%.
You worried about the end result. Yeah, you got to worry. It's about the process. Get to the shot.
So you want a lineup of Giddy, Poku, and Chet.
I mean, that's the skills challenge champions right there.
Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is going to get me the fuck out of here.
He's like, get me out quickly. Hurry up.
I didn't leave the other Laker or the other LA team for this. What do you
have? I don't know what's going on with this draft,
Marcus,
man.
Marcus,
who
this,
knows?
Marcus, this is what you say. This is what you say, okay? And we'll edit this out so it sounds like it's your idea. I'm looking forward to the Athletic NBA draft show live. That's what you
all
say.
I care about. Yeah. All I care about is the Athletic NBA draft show. When
who's
it goes down live,
who's hosting
that? hosted by, I imagine, it's a guess here, but I figure since it's probably going to be the best podcast host, it's got to be Dave DeFore. Hosted by Dave. That's your second best reaction this week, buddy. Right there.
If anyone was, how do I ask this question? No, I can't ask this question. I mean, Nell Asen got caught with porn on his computer on the floor at the Chase Center. That's all.
It was disconcerting. That was very disconcerting.
What a great.
Yo,
what a.
You went, I mean, the definition of 0 to 100 real quick was your reaction, bro. Like, you were chilling in your chair, laid back, yeah. And then, oh, no.
If you think about it, I thought the issue was he didn't know how to put sound out there on the computer so that Kevin O'Connor could listen to us ask him questions.
And it had to be Kevin O'Connor who saw it too, because Kevin O'Connor is like the purest man in sports media. Like,
he is. He's like the nicest dude, the purest dude. Like, and all of a sudden,
he just had Amin to be watching him filth Amin's on his porn. Computer.
Like, hey, come over here and talk to us. Check this out.
Just threw battery acid into his face.
The thing is, not but 10 minutes earlier, if that, Amin was trying to get Steve Kerr over to the computer.
I wish with all my heart it was Steve Imagine. Kerr.
Steve was doing an ESPN Deportes hit or something like that, and Amin's like, I'll go see, and he couldn't get him because Steve Kerr's, you know, coaching the finals. He could go talk to Amin and look at his computer.
No way Steve lets him off the hook, though. No way Steve lets him off the
there's
hook.
There's no way.
No way.
Oh, my.
No way.
I wish that happened. That would have been even better than Kevin. Kevin O'Connor was like a solid number two, though.
Yo,
of all the people to react to that, Kevin O'Connor was way up there.
He could not have handled that better. KOC was fantastic in that moment, but yes.
We were doing research for a movie that involved a certain adult film actress, and so I was
searching. That's porn on the computer?
Whoa, what are you doing? You left your computer earlier. What are you doing, Amin?
That was seven hours ago.
I swear to God, it was research. I swear to God. Zach, you know what?
Did KOC just catch you watching porn?
That was 7 hours ago. It was.
It was 7 hours prior that he would have been looking that up.
My man was doing a lot of research. Lot of research.
All right. Take five, guys. Incredible. Take five. Finals MVP. The Warriors enter game 6 of the NBA Finals in Boston with a 3-2 lead in the series. And fellas, Steph Curry is probably going to win NBA Finals MVP, right? If he closes the series strong, Curry should win Finals MVP. If he struggles, Curry could win Finals MVP. He's been that good, Game 5 included. But what if the Celtics pull this out? Marcus, full circle. Who will win the finals? You have to make a pick. How many games? Is it 6 or 7? And who is your finals MVP?
Warriors in 6. Or Warriors in 7.
No, you can't.
What about Celtics in 7?
Or it could be Celtics in 7. Those are my 3 picks right there.
Those are the 3 possibilities.
Warriors
yes.
in 6. Celtics in 7 or Warriors in 7. It's got to be one of those. That's my prediction. It'll be one of those.
At least it's only 3 this time, not 4 predictions.
I was like wrong on all of them. It's like one pick possible left live for me. Like
of the 24 players available, who do you think gets Finals MVP?
It's Steph Curry or Jason Tatum. I'm not doing this finals MVP discussion. It's not a real discussion. No, you know better. Check this out.
All right. Jay, let me paint the scenario for you.
Mm-hmm.
Steph Curry, 10 points in game 6. But the Warriors go into Boston. They win this game behind a 40 piece from Andrew Wiggins.
This is not happening.
Who is your finals MVP?
Steph Curry.
Why?
Because
Wiggs been better. Wiggs won in the last 3 games.
No, won the last three.
No. In this scenario.
Hold on.
Rebounded. Look, what do you like mean? Steph what can't do you get mean? The ball to shoot.
Wiggs
if he
won
in
the last 3
like
in this scenario. What? Curry had 43.
Yeah, because Wiggins rebounded. Wiggins had 16 rebounds, man. Yeah,
43 because Wiggins rebounded.
Yeah, yo, you can't shoot the ball if you don't get the ball. Wiggins got the ball.
If the Warriors win,
Wiggins had two big buckets off offensive rebounds in the fourth. Kind of hell, you know. I'm not going to call Steph a front runner. That's not a good idea. I'm just saying maybe Wiggins leading the team. I don't know.
If the Warriors win, Steph is winning MVP. If the Warriors don't win, Steph still might win the damn MVP.
But he shouldn't.
Yeah, we can't do this. We can't.
Somebody on the winning team.
It'll also be so messed up, right?
And you can't lose game six and seven and win finals MVP.
Let's say he does. You can't give Curry the finals MVP in his career be the one where he lost the series. That's not going
to
mean anything.
That would be epic, like, though, because then the debate that it would spark for years to come. Oh, God.
Like, at this we're just trying to feed ourselves 30 years from now
when he's old as hell.
These aren't even real basketball decisions or conversations. We're just trying to give ourselves something to
talk
about.
We're just trying to get to the draft on Thursday. That's all we're doing.
That's it. We're trying to get to the Athletic NBA live draft show.
Yes.
That's it. That's all we're trying to do.
Remember last year when we said Scotty Barnes' pick was just awful? We just all simultaneously hated Scottie Barnes.
What I said is I would have gone with Jalen Suggs, but I'm not going to doubt Masai Ujiri.
I would like to check the tape on that one. I need to go check the tape on that one.
Go find it, motherfucker. So I don't think you're going to find
that. That was 7 months ago.
It was.
This is the thing.
I was very wrong 7 months ago.
Let me paint this scenario, okay? I made up for it. I voted Scottie Barnes for Rookie of the Year. So, you know, it's fine. We're even at this point. Let me paint this scenario. Okay, let's say the Warriors win in seven. Wiggins has two good games in 6 and 7. Steph is bad in both 6 and 7. You know? Does Wiggins then? I just want Andrew Wiggins to be finals MVP.
Why were we lowering the bar for Andrew Wiggins, though?
What do you mean lowering the bar?
You're basically saying, hey, Wiggins, you get one-on-one coverage against Derek White, and if you cook him, we'll give you finals MVP. That's basically
and
what
grab
we're saying.
Rebounds. Grab 29 rebounds last two games.
All right, give it to Looney then. Give it to Looney.
If the Celtics win, is Tatum a lock for finals MVP?
No.
Or can Jalen Brown?
No, Jalen could definitely win.
I think how they finish it. Yeah, I think it's who finishes it.
I think.
To me, Jalen's had a great series. See, here's the problem. Here's what we need to figure out. As if we're going to do this thing for real, because there has been a change. What is the finals MVP for? Is it for who had the best series or is it for best player on the team?
It's for the
because
finals.
We talk about it now, but we talk about it as if you don't have this award, you can't be the best player on your team. But also now we want to give it to the number three guy who got a good ISO matchup. Right?
I love the idea that someone thought Tony Parker was the best Spur in 2007.
Yes. Somebody thought Cornbread Maxwell was the best.
You know what's crazy about that? Is obviously I didn't see that series, but I looked up the numbers for that series. Larry Bird averaged like 15, 15, and 7 in that series.
15, 7.
He was pretty good. He was pretty good. Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, sometimes a guy like Cornbread will have a good matchup, right? Yeah. Or he had a great series, and it's a way to kind of spread the love on a team. Like, but now if it's gonna be this indictment, then you just kind of got to give it to the best player. Like, that's what we're doing. But you can't lower it to create this universe where a role player gets it because he did his role really well.
You know what?
And then turn around and say, you, Jason Tatum, you can't be that good. You didn't win finals MVP, even though you set it up for the role player by drawing the double and setting him up.
Yeah. I do think that people overlook sometimes, like, the weight of being that star and just how much that star has to take on versus what everybody else on his team has to take on, especially in Steph's case, because Steph just opens things up so wide for all
Andre
his teammates.
Andre Iguodala, all he had to do was hit the open shots that were given to him. People talk about this, Andre Iguodala, he got in, he changed the series. Yes, you know why it changed the series? Because it opened the floor for Steph. Take the big man out, because it's clogging the paint, and Steph needs to go to work. Like, this, it's not that hard, actually. Make the open shots.
Steph put somebody in the hospital. I don't think that's a big enough story that Steph put somebody in the hospital in that series. Jay, What is your prediction? Who wins? How many games? Who's Finals MVP?
Warriors in six. This is over in six in Boston. The Celtics just have not been able to solve the Warriors' defense, especially when it matters. Ime Udoka started talking about maybe guys were fatigued at the end of game five. I don't think that's something Ime has said once all year. He's played guys huge minutes a lot, and he's just kind of said, we're built for this. Our guys are ready. Our guys can play through it. So for him to say maybe guys were tired in that moment, I feel like that was telling to me.
We're being crazy, Jay, by not talking about this like it's a real thing. They should be tired.
Oh, I
like,
agree.
It's the most games they've ever played in this season. It's the most games they've ever played this season. Yeah.
To game five of the NBA Finals to be like, hey, yo, they might be tired. Like, I want to stand up and give them a golf clap. They played 2 7-game series.
Believe me, I'm tired as hell. Finally. I'm tired as hell, and all I do is write about these dudes. They played two 7-game series in a row. Now they got to do this 15-hour flight in between games in the finals.
You know who's not tired, guys? Andrew Wiggins. He's got springy legs right now.
You know why he's not tired?
Guarding Jason Tatum.
The whole defense is guarding Steph.
Oh, we got a bunch of 6'6 dudes on the floor. I'll go rebound against these trees. I'm not worried about it.
These trees.
That's right. Wiggins Island's always been a prime vacation spot in June. You guys just didn't know it yet. My prediction? Warriors in 7. Tatum. Finals MVP. That's going to do it for this edition of the Point of Contention. I don't even believe it. I don't know why I said
that. What in the hell?
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense at all. Don't forget about the live draft show Thursday, June 23rd out there on the old internet.
The draft
internet.
Is really in a week. That's crazy.
Oh my God, it's nuts, man. There'll be a lot of draft coverage from yours truly and a lot of people at The Athletic over this next week. Make sure you're checking out Marcus' coverage of the finals, Jay's King of the coverage of the finals, and make sure you're checking out everybody else's coverage on The Athletic of the NBA Finals. Make sure you check out all the other podcasts. Michelle Beatles, What Did I Miss? She had a great guest on yesterday. Young guy named Zach Harper, who was fantastic, stole the show. For Jay, for Marcus, for Jade, I'm Zach. Keep it locked here on The Athletic.